Pippa Hudson on Cake Talk. Call Pippa on 021-446-0567.
That is the number to dial for Consumer Talk. As we say, welcome back to our consumer watchdog, Wendy Nola, who is joining us from a studio in Durban today. Always great to have you with us, Wendy.
Hi, Pippa. Thank you.
It's all about recycling today in the first half hour, certainly. So please call in if you've got a question around the reuse and recycling of packaging in particular. If you want to share a great example of someone you think is getting it right in terms of encouraging recycling, anything like that, your calls and your voice notes are welcome. Wendy is going to share some individual case studies with us of people finding creative ways to recycle plastic in particular. We're going to hear some pretty inspiring examples of what can be done with recycling products. And then just a reminder that after 1:30, it's an open line. You can call in on any consumer item in that time. The number to dial, 021-446-0567. Now, Wendy, on Monday, I mentioned that over the weekend, I took part in a beach cleanup. It was International Coastal Cleanup Day on Saturday.
Yes.
And it was horrifying. I mean, it's probably the fourth or fifth or sixth time I've done this, but every year I'm stunned by how much we pick up, knowing that a lot of it has washed out of stormwater drains. Plastic bottles, earbuds, polystyrene containers, three of the big offending items. And a very visible reminder that we have got to change the way we look at disposable products that we toss away after only using once.
Absolutely. And here in Durban, I go to the beach with my dogs a few times a week, and we have the Amangani River washing onto the beach, and that can be quite horrific at this time of year with our spring rains. Happy to have the spring rains, but the beaches, I mean, you can't avoid the impact of plastic waste on our beaches and on our oceans. And of course, we're not even seeing the landfill. So it's no exaggeration to see that the future of the planet, to say that the future of the planet depends in large part on us, we humans, realizing that we can't go on with our make, use, dispose culture. We absolutely have to embrace recycling. That's reusing and repurposing paper, cardboard, cans, glass, and mostly plastic. So to this end, the South African Plastics Recycling Organization, or SAPRO, has for the past 7 years staged a Recycled Product of the Year competition to encourage the use of this recycled content and to celebrate Recycle It in creative marketable ways. So as we've said, plastic gets a pretty bad rap, and understandably so. It's made from oil, a non-renewable resource. And if it's only used once and then discarded, it to land up in the ocean, killing our sea life, clogging our landfills, that has to be an environmental disaster. And it's a huge shame too. So increasing consumer awareness about the need to recycle plastic and all recyclables is the only way we're going to turn this tide on this one. As you can hear, I hope, I'm absolutely passionate about this issue.
Indeed, we
and
can.
So I was thrilled to be invited by Annabee Pretorius, who's the general manager for SAPRO, to be one of the judges in this year's Best Recycled Product competition for the first time. So before we get to the winners, I'm hoping we can chat to Annabee now.
We can indeed. We've got Annabee on the line. It's lovely to have you with us, Annabee. Welcome to the show.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
It's our great
pleasure.
And
if you think I'm passionate, wait till you hear Annabee. So, Annabee, it sounds simple. You take used plastic, you melt it down, you make new products, but clearly it's very, very much more complicated than that. What are the biggest challenges to getting this right, to recycling our discarded plastic?
I think that because there's so many different types of plastics, now, every grade and every type of plastic has to be recycled separately. And that's really the challenge, because you may think you sit with a lot of plastic, but then once you've separated, it's a tiny little pile of about 20 different types of plastics. And that is one of our simplest problems, because that affects the way that we transport it, and that also affects the whole, is it economically viable to do so in big factories?
Yeah, that's the cost factor. And I think also, I suppose, the average consumer wouldn't have a clue what plastic is good to recycle and what's not so great, I imagine.
I think from SAPRO's point of view, we say if it's plastic, put it in your recyclable bin and the waste management company will sort it out.
Okay. Excellent.
It's interesting that, so not knowing quite which one you should do what with is not an excuse not to recycle at all, is the message I get there.
No, absolutely. And only if there's a pile of the stuff, then a solution will come. But if we don't put it separately, it's very difficult then to go and look for it on a landfill, for example.
Fair enough. And I mean, I'm interested to know how successful South Africans are at recycling. I have heard, for example, that when it comes to certainly the PET, the PET plastic bottles, we actually recycle more than 50% of what we produce, which is very well above the international rate. For example, America, I know, only manages to recycle 30% of those bottles. That suggests that we are quite conscious of it. Do you have any stats on just how much is being recycled?
Yes, we're doing absolutely fantastic. Now, the way that we in the world express the recycling rates is how much plastic is being made in a country and then how much is mechanically recycled. In other words, turned back into plastic products again. And we definitely by far the world's leaders. You won't believe it, but we are. Europe collect a lot of plastic, but then they bail it and they export it to China. Mm. They don't actually turn it into product again. With South Africa, we make things again out of it. And PET is a big success story, specifically around the beverage bottles. There are some PET products that we do not recycle, but beverage bottles, we world class. And then the other product that we really top of the list is polyethylene films. Now, that's the normal little bag that you get around your apples and around your toilet paper and around your new mattress. Mm-hmm. We recycle more than 30% of all that plastic in South Africa as well, which is huge if you think about it, where the rest of the world sits in single-digit figures.
It is. I mean, it's nice to have that comparison because, Annabelle, I think a lot of people would hear 30% and go, gosh, why so little? Not realizing that actually we are way ahead of what other countries are doing. What are the barriers to prevent that 30% becoming a 60%, an 80%, and a 90%?
At this stage, where we're sitting in the last 2-3 years now is end markets. We've saturated the traditional end markets, which are the refuse bags and the smoky bags that you buy your wood in and even your furniture. So we need to develop new markets for those materials in South Africa because recycled plastic cannot go back into food contact. PET is the exception there, but none of the other plastics can go back into food contact. So you can't make another apple bag out of it. So nice. The products that can be manufactured are limited.
Wendy, anything you'd like to add to that before we let Annabee go?
No, I think that's it. And thank you, Annabee, for sharing with us and the listeners how successful we actually are. I think that's hugely motivating for us to continue. And also the fact that you have that competition, I think that's a big step towards finding those new markets and obviously the reason why you do it, I would imagine.
Absolutely, that's one of the reasons. And thank you to every single listener that take effort and separating his recyclables from his non-recyclables and keep them clean and put them separate. We really appreciate that.
Annabee Pretorius, thanks for chatting to us. Annabee is the General Manager for SAPRO, which is the SA Plastics Recycling Organization. Now, Wendy, some, I think, really encouraging stats that Annabee shared with us. You, of course, recently got a look at some of the creative ideas that are flowing into this concept of what we do with the recyclable material. Before you tell us about the winners in the competition, will you explain what sort of criteria you actually use to judge them?
Okay, there were quite a few. We considered consumer acceptance of the products. That's no good making it if you're going to have consumer kickback around it. The extent to which it reduces the amount of plastic ending up in landfills, that's huge. That's in terms of impact. We also awarded points for the potential tonnages that a product can remove from landfill. So once it's gone, they actually get it off like those beverage bottles and the technical challenges that these manufacturers had to overcome in order to produce the product and how original the design was.
Now, speaking of original design, let's talk about the winners. I just love the design that was the big winner of the night, which is a bed base made out of what?
Made out of old car bumpers, which I wouldn't have known if it wasn't for me sitting in on the judging and Annabee saying, because motivation, it was described as end of life automotive components. And she went, oh, right, in other words, car bumpers. And I went, okay, that's, and then I was sort of being the creative time. I was thinking, okay, the things that go bump in the night, bed base made of old car bumpers. So yeah, it's a really interesting story. Bed industry veterans, Graham Coleman and Gianni Nosenzo, were very familiar with traditional bed bases, being in the industry, very heavy, cumbersome things made from wood. And so they set out to totally reinvent this staple using recycled plastic. So they formed this company called Cyclic in Joburg. And after much trial and error, they came up with what they called the Space Base. So it's made from this recycled polypropylene in the form of these car bumpers, only available in black, like the original
Ford. Like the
40. Yeah. And only as a double for now. It looks a lot like a giant upturned beer crate. And you think, goodness, I don't know if I'd want this in my home. But I mean, obviously you're not looking at the plastic. It's sold with a cloth cover, a padded cover. It's only 19 kilograms. So it's very, very light, which is green in itself. It folds up into a
pleasure.
Absolutely. If you think anyone has ever done a move with
making the bed. Yeah.
Exactly. Lifting or moving it. So, it folds up into a quarter of the space of a traditional bed base. And that makes it far easier to move and to store and ideal for exporting. Think about that. It's currently finding a market in Australia, down under, and the Dominican Republic. And I think that's a huge proud for us. And when I saw this, I said, could this be the new Creepy Crawly of what Creepy Crawly did for pool cleaning? Could this do for the South African bed industry? So currently the plant is producing 3,500 of these bases sold with that cloth cover every month. But they have the capacity to double that, and that's the exciting part. So it won the 100% post-consumer recycled content category, and then it went on Friday night to scoop the best recycled product for the year. And it was our unanimous choice.
Absolutely intriguing story. If you'd like to read up more or look for them, Cyclic is spelled C-Y-C-L-I-Q. The space base is the bed base made. I just you got me stuck at the 19 kilograms because of the number of times I've bent my back trying to move around the standard version. Yeah. Okay. And then a couple of others just to mention, and Alison and Nurtuk, I see your call, will come to you in just a moment. But just while we're talking about these novel products, there was a local product that got recognized in the novel and artistic product section. And it's one we've actually spoken about on the show before, Wendy, the Street Sleeper.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. It's quite a product for many reasons. It won the novel and artistic product category, as you said. Just so many wins, so many ticks. It's these survival bags are given to the homeless on the streets. They're made from plastic billboards that would otherwise land up in the dumps, as we call them. They're extra long. I love this bit, allowing the owner to safely store their belongings at their feet while they sleep, which I read some of the stories and very, very touching. So wonderful, wonderful product. Another two categories, products made from mixed materials, green light blocks. You can find them in your local hardware store. They're a mix of cement and recycled polystyrene, mostly discarded fast food containers. Enderby says in the factory, you actually can smell the tomato sauce and the greasy burgers. They don't even have to clean them, which is very green. You don't waste water or anything. In they go. They're mixed with the cement. They make these blocks, and they're used to build both low-cost houses and mansions, offering astounding sound insulation, something like 40%, which is brilliant, brilliant. I just love that product.
I'm so glad. So just before you move on, polystyrene was one of the big evils that I found all over the beach on Sunday.
Yes.
So, and somebody's actually just WhatsApped it asking, why is polystyrene not being used for more extensive uses? And Annaby actually answered that question for us off air, saying it is being used in things like picture frames and skirting boards and in this lightweight concrete, as you've just described. If only more of it was being used instead of being dumped.
Exactly. I'm very involved with our local orange bag recycling. When I say involved, I report on it a lot, our orange bag recycling project in Durban. And they need more of it. They're crying out for more. So the problem isn't that it isn't being recycled. The problem is that most consumers don't realize that it can be recycled. So they're not putting it into that. They're not separating it out.
Right.
And then lastly, this is another nice Cape story, Pippa. The category products containing a percentage of post-consumer recyclate is the 10-liter Addis watering can. So it's not 100% recycled, but it's a major proportion. I can't off the top of my head remember. But last year, more than 100,000 of them were bought, mainly in the Cape, because of the drought. people not switching from hose pipes to watering cans.
Yeah.
And those sales kept about 58 tons of plastic material from landfills.
Fantastic.
You can get a mind picture of that, but it's huge. So very, very satisfying endeavor. And you know, I absolutely loved being involved with that.
Well, thanks for sharing the news with us. We've got lots of callers and comments already coming through. So I'm going to take a few of those calls and take some SMSs as well. Alison has been waiting very patiently on the line from Noituk. Alison, thanks for calling in.
Yes, hi Pippa. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Very exciting to hear about the different products that are available to, from recycled plastic. But my understanding is, after going to listen to Bea Johnson talking at the Two Oceans Aquarium, that the problem is that plastic can only be recycled twice maximum before it is waste. So my thought is to try and reduce my plastic footprint. So I've been trying for about the last 2 to 3 months to really reduce the amount of packaging that I consume as a byproduct of just going to the various food retail outlets. And it's pretty hard to do, actually. The easy wins are bread. You never need to buy bread in plastic. It's very easy to get it in paper or to put it into your own individual bag, cloth bag that you brought with you. Fruit and veg, also very easy to bring your own bags along and weigh it in that, or just weigh it without a bag. That works extremely well. And pick and pay have kind of got used to me and a few others doing that. And we've actually formed a waste reduction club in the far south where we try and give each other ideas of where we can shop without packaging. So there is actually a market that's come up now where you can buy a whole range of different things, including pastas and grains and all kinds of things without packaging. So you bring your own packaging or you put it into glass jars. And then the last thing I wanted to mention was the whole eco-brick movement. I don't know if Wendy or you are aware of that, but where you take all of those plastic and sometimes the laminated cardboard that can't actually be recycled, and you squash it down into a 2-liter Coke bottle, and they are in fact building whole structures out of these eco-bricks, and they're really amazing to lock in your non-recyclable waste into something that's not going to end up on the beach and pollute the oceans.
Alison, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Two things I want to tell you. Firstly, Caroline Hanks is one of the people from your area who's passionate about eco-bricks, and she is back on the show in a week or two talking to us about her campaigning around plastic-free races, including the Two Oceans Marathon, so stay tuned for that. And secondly, I met an architect who is working at designing buildings built with eco-bricks, and he is just currently in the Eastern Cape. As soon as he's back in Cape Town, he's agreed to come into studio to talk more to us about what he's doing with them. It is fantastic how they're being used. So thank you for that reminder. And Alison, thanks for making some really, really important points there. Wendy, I mean, lots of people saying we're trying to refuse and reduce and reuse our plastic, but a lot of the shops themselves aren't geared up for it. I've also had a comment from someone saying that my dump doesn't know that they can take, for example, polystyrene. When I try and take it to recycling places, they won't have it. Is a lot of the problem just education of consumers about what they can or cannot recycle?
Absolutely, there's that. And I always advise people just phone the companies yourself and find out. So much I wanted to comment on the bags in the shopping center. I make a note of looking when I go shopping. You know, we had the huge uptake when the plastic bag, you know, the more paying for plastic bags came in, the thicker bags. That was 2003, and people have just mostly gone back to their old ways of buying them, which I do not understand. A, it's a waste of plastic, and B, it costs 50 cents a bag. So I don't get that. You quibble over a few cents here and there, and then you buy your bags. The Eco Brick was, that whole thing was a finalist in the competition, the best recycled product.
Okay.
That in the category that was won by the Street Sleeper. And there were various reasons why we felt the Street Sleeper was ahead, but it was definitely a finalist. It might have even got one of the medals. I'm not sure, but we definitely commended it.
Great.
And the getting the children involved to collect the litter that goes into those bottles. So it was great. It was just wasn't much recycling of that plastic happening. It was just going once into the build, but a a wonderful endeavor nevertheless. What was the other thing? Oh, yes, reducing our use of packaging. I think that's amazing. You would have picked up, there's been a lot in the media about let's not use, we don't need straws. You know, how much plastic is that? You don't need a straw, for example. And if we all just change our mindset and start looking actively for ways of cutting down our use of plastic, you'd be amazed how much you don't need, actually.
Cape Talk. Send Pepper a voice note now on 072-567-1567.
Question that's come in by voice note.
Hi Pepper, Gillian from Sunningdale here. One of the biggest problems I have with plastics is these tiny little barrier bags that retailers like Pick and Pay uses to separate something that is already packaged. So, for instance, they'll put your soap in these separate little bags. I have mentioned this numerous times to Pick and Pay on their Facebook page, but they've always basically come back to me and said to me, well, while your packer is packing, you must just make sure and ask them not to put anything in the non-recyclable barrier bags. And it really is a problem because I've asked them time and time again to actually take them away because they are a nightmare.
Wendy, it's such an important question and it's being asked in various forms by several people. Why are so many shops still offering the non-recyclable alternatives for their packaging? Why haven't they switched to things that are exclusively recyclable?
Well, that's a good question to ask them because and certainly Adebe, you know, it drives them mad. For example, when you're recycling those bottles, I mean, the blue ones and the clear ones are gold. They're the best quality. You can do more with them. When you've got a bottle that's dark brown or bright green, you're limited. The process is more complicated and the applications are far fewer. But the fizzy drinks manufacturers want their brown and their green bottles. So it's an extension of that sort of thing. Maybe in time that will change when more consumers start becoming aware of the issue and start demanding that things change. Because the manufacturers would argue that, for example, people don't want to buy their ginger beer in a clear bottle. Won't have the same appeal. And you know, there is some thing to say about that. As for those thin bags, again, the purpose of them, I would imagine, with soap and other detergent type products, is that they don't want they want to contain the transference of odor, so that consumers would be upset if their chicken started smelling of Stay Soft, for example. And certainly, if you buy a fresh chicken, that you're not going to have the blood leaking out of the pack as it does and onto your groceries, and many consumers would have a lot to say about that. So I think it's balancing consumer needs with the whole, you know, environmental issue. And it certainly the packers should be taught to find a balance between those two things. And certainly, if the customer says, "Please, I don't want them," then to
respect that choice.
To honor that and respect that, yes.
Yeah, I'm amazed by how many people have just flooded me with SMSs and emails saying, "Oh, I can't stand those barrier bags." Here's somebody saying, "Last time I didn't notice in time and my dishwashing liquid got one, some fabric softener got another one. It's absolutely infuriating."
So it's partly about odor and it's partly about actual, you know, leakage.
Again, it's about needing to be alert at the tills, though, and to say, "Stop, I don't want that. Please don't give it to me."
Yeah, at the moment it's too sort of routine and knee-jerk rather than any thought going into it. And, you know, in 2017, that needs to change.
Okay, let's go back to the lines and say hello to Mark on the line from Nootuk. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi Pippa. Yeah, we have met. It's Mark Aquaclap.
Yes, hello Mark.
A while ago. Yeah. Pippa, yeah, just a quick one with the packaging, with the bags, the shopping bags. You know, the toughy one, which is 100%.
Recycled, yes.
That what I'm doing is I'm using that under the ground as a water trap. So it's got two purposes. You're recycling it, you're putting it under the ground, and it's trapping water. And we've used it in schools. They can use a moisture meter to check it. It is food grade plastic, so there's no problem there. And it traps the water, and you reduce your water consumption by like 50%. And your veggies grow super quick, and they big, and they jump out the ground, and it also stops your nutrients, your compost, leaching out of the ground. So that's the one product that I've got.
Mm-hmm.
There is a YouTube video called Aquatrap project that people can look at. And then the other one with polystyrene, I've been busy with a thing. There's also a YouTube video there called Thermotrap Project.
Okay.
And that where what I do there is I take polystyrene bead and I'm mixing that with cement and with sand and plastering that onto the outside of shacks on the roof and on the walls and reducing the heat inside the shack by up to 50-60%.
That's fantastic.
So insulates,
wow.
Insulates, you paint it. It's also fire resistant. I'm working on a new one, but people can have a look at that YouTube video, and it's all easy, DIY, inexpensive, and yeah, it's the way to go.
Mark, thanks for that. I'm going to tweet the links to both of those videos. Mark has been on the show before talking about his AquaTrap system, so thanks for filling us in on the Thermotrap as well, Mark. We'll tweet the links in just a moment. Kerry's on the line from Musenberg. What do you talk about sorting plastics, I think. Kerry, good afternoon.
Hi, I am actually follow, I buy from them quite a lot, is a company called Faithful to Nature.
Yes.
And they sent out an email this morning that they've just launched a plastic-free sorting function on their website. So you can go onto the website and sort all their products that are 100% plastic-free, including like all the packaging that it comes in. So like the boxes, the fillers, everything 100% plastic free, which is really great.
Mm-hmm. That's Robin, isn't it? She runs Faithful to Nature. We've had her in as well, Kerry.
Yeah.
Always at the front of efforts to make our footprint on the planet just that bit lighter.
Yeah. No, I think it's like one of the best things because like you always buy products and then you get them and then they're like packaged and wrapped in bubble wrap and like the boxes filled with plastic. So your product might be might be plastic free, but then it gets brought to you in something that's not.
Great point, Kerry. Thanks for the tip. Or Faithful to Nature is a wonderful website in general to visit if you're looking for planet friendly alternatives to everything. So thanks for the reminder, Wendy. Lots here to do with what we as consumers drive and demand.
Absolutely. I just loved Mark's story. It was a sort of a low-cost DIY version of the green light blocks.
Mm.
So when you mix the polystyrene with cement, you just get the most amazing insulation, heat, sound. And to apply that to a shack, I just love that idea. So it's accessible to anybody.
It is indeed. Yeah.
And such a lovely green solution. Yeah,
okay.
Well, lovely feel-good show.
It is indeed. Okay, there's an interesting comment here from someone saying they wish that the city would be doing more to drive the recycling agenda. It's Nikki on the WhatsApp line questioning why councils are not being forced to collect separated recycling. She says, in the city bowl, I have to drive to a dump and pay city council for refuse collection, which I don't use. Many people don't have cars. Restaurants seldom recycle. Please, everyone needs to put pressure on City of Cape Town. Nikki, it's a fair point. I know certainly there's no city-led recycling in my area. We just subscribe to a private recycling service. And I really, if anyone listening hasn't done that, I would really urge you to investigate it. It's not expensive. You can pay as little as 30 rand a month. I think we pay about 100 rand a month for a weekly collection. They do all the sorting for you. They take it to Oasis, so it provides job creation at the next phase of the recycling sort of circle. It's really worth investigating if you haven't got the option of council collection, which is available in some areas. But I agree with you, Nikki. It would be wonderful to see that rolled out throughout the city. Wendy, what are things like in Durban? Does your council collect recycling?
Yeah, it's a complicated answer. The short one is, short version is that we have what's known as the orange bag product project. So we are encouraged to, in the metro areas particularly, to separate our waste. So we put polystyrene, cardboard, paper, all the dry recyclables into an orange bag, and we put it out with our black bag on our verges on collection day. Then they also have a clear bag that's for glass and cans. That's fairly recent. And then you have your garden refuse in another bag. So I put out one small black bag, two orange and one glass and cans, maybe once a week or twice a week, depending on how much entertaining we've done. But it's really, they make it really easy easy for consumers to separate at source, and it's collected from one's verge. But there's a problem with it, which I've just reported on recently, and that is there's a wrangle over price of bag with between the city and the orange bag supplier. So the orange bag supplier says they're due for an increase. The city's not paying it, so now they're short supplying, and the bags aren't being delivered the way they used to be. And so if you're really into recycling like I am, you actually have to make an effort to go to the Durban Solid Waste Depot, and they'll only give you one bag of orange bags at a time. Ugh. Otherwise, you've got to put all your dry consumables, your plastic and cardboard, into a much smaller, thicker, clear bag, which is meant for glass and cans. And that defeats the object because it's over-packaging again. The bags are expensive. They're not made for... So there are challenges, but... and. Up until this little hiccup, Durban was very much ahead of the curve when it comes to municipal recycling initiatives. So it's quite sad, and I'm hoping that it gets resolved soon.
Fingers crossed. Let's hope so. Mm. Right. We can take a few more calls on 021-446-0567. We've got lots of people talking about recycling. I'm happy to carry on doing that. But a reminder, it is an open line. So if you have a different consumer query, you can you're most welcome to phone in on that as well. Mary has been waiting very patiently in Pinelands. Thanks for calling in, Mary. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pippa. Pippa, I'm phoning because I walk dogs, and you know, you carry a poo bag.
Yeah.
Now, I use those bags that they put the dishwasher and stuff in. I use them as poo bags, but it actually worries me that at the end of the day, all these bags get dumped in the rubbish, and I don't know what alternative there is, because you don't want to leave doggy do all over the path.
How difficult would it be to use a paper bag instead, Mary?
Well, if I got them for nothing, yes. You know, because I get these bags and one uses them. It wouldn't be quite so easy, actually, because they would tend to leak. They would get, well...
There's a sticky problem.
Too much detail, but it would be... paper is not such a good alternative as plastic for things like that.
Fair point, Mary. Look, let's put it out there. I bet there's someone listening who has a solution for you, because I know lots of our listeners are passionate about both issues, cleaning up after their dogs and keeping the planet clean. So if anyone listening has a suggestion for Mary on a more eco-friendly alternative as a poop bag rather than the barrier bag of plastic which ends up on the landfill, please do share it with us. I also, if Alison in Notuk, I can't tell you how many people are asking about the market you mentioned which offers you the alternative of buying without packaging. Won't you please call back or send us an SMS to tell us where that market is so that we can spread the word. I have probably 6 or 7 people asking for that information on Twitter. Right, here's an interesting one, Wendy. Seeing as you've been looking at all these interesting people making interesting products out of recyclables, mm-hmm. Here's a WhatsApp saying, if you have an idea for things that can be made out of recycled plastic, where do you take that idea? There are several things that I've thought of and discussed with engineers, but I've no idea how to get it all started. Any advice for that person?
I would say get hold of Annabee. She's very well connected in the plastic recycling game industry, and that would be a good place to start.
Okay, so Annabee Pretorius is the general manager of SAPRO, as I mentioned, is the South African Plastics Recycling Organization. If you Google them, you'll find the link to their website very easily. Good luck to you. Back to recycling. Hello to Norman in Somerset West. Good afternoon.
Hello, Pippa. Hello, Wendy. The Helderberg does have a recycling setup, which is part of the City of Cape Town's waste removal. It's been going on here for some considerable period of time. I live in a complex. Bags are distributed to residents, and they're expected to separate the waste stream so that what needs to go into the landfill is the minimum, and what ought to be recycled is recycled. And what troubles me most is, despite the fact that it is a facilitated process, it's remarkable how few people take the opportunity to actually separate out. And all you have to do when you deliver your bin to the bin park is stick the bag of recyclables on the top of the bin. And it's amazing how few people are inclined to want to do this. And that, I think, is part of the problem. The result is that the initiative, which is actually a job creation project, as far as I understand, is currently still not sustainable because insufficient people are putting their waste into the waste stream to make it a viable proposition going forward.
Interesting point, Norman. Thanks. And that's the crux of the matter, Wendy, is that we, absolutely, as the consumers, again, have got to change our behavior if we want to see corporates responding in a like-minded fashion.
Yes, they need the demand to come from us, and we need to get the recycled numbers up to make it viable. It needs to be more of us who are doing it. But I've seen it with the orange bag product. Once it becomes the thing to do, you don't want to be the only person in your street not putting out your orange bag in my neighborhood. And so everybody does it. It's just, you know, there comes a tipping point at some stage, and that's what we need to get to.
And the more of you do it, the more the cost comes down, because if there are 10 of you in the neighborhood versus one of you in the neighborhood, the cost per house comes down. I've seen that in our own neighborhood for sure.
Yep.
I'm so delighted. I love Cape Talk. We ask a question, we get an answer. And Anwen in Noatuk has an answer on the alternative poop bags. Anwen, thanks for calling in. Good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa. Just a suggestion that people could walk with a little spade, just a little, you know, like a little hand shovel.
Mm.
And when your dog poos, just dig a little hole and bury the poo in the hole.
You'd have to bury it quite deep down so that it doesn't get dug up again on the beach in particular. But that is an option. Anwen, thank you. I've also had a WhatsApp saying that there are actually biodegradable poop bags available in several pet stores. Not all of them stock them, but you can find a biodegradable bag for your doggy's poo. So there we go. Look in the pet store if you want to do the right thing. Gabby in Takai also has a suggestion. Gabby, good afternoon.
I was going to make the same comment that your previous caller made. I walk my dogs in the Takai Forest and around my neighborhood regularly, and I either carry a spade or I just find a stick and I bury the poo. I have a huge issue with the poo going into a bag. It's contained, so the poo doesn't break down, and the bag obviously then goes into landfill. Obviously, if you're walking on the beach, it's not so easy. You have to take it away because, the loose sand will get uncovered.
Okay. Gabby, thanks so much. And several people saying the same thing on the WhatsApp line, that you simply bury what your dog produces and problem solved. Andrew in Constantia also wants to talk about the dog poop issue. Andrew, good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa.
What's your suggestion?
I sent you an image on the WhatsApp. You might not have got it. But basically, it gets to the issue of the Cape Town aquifer, Table Mountain aquifer, as it's called, which is the source of the last remaining good water once the dams are dry. Now, the problem is the dog walkers who walk on Table Mountain do exactly as many listeners have said. They either leave it or put it into a plastic bag. Now, that's understandable because they want to hide it away. The real issue is you've got to take that poo off the mountain and it's got to go into the landfill in a biodegradable bag. So I have established a contact with the company who will be supplying into companies like Ferndale Nurseries, Perky Pets, a range of dog poop bags which are all fully 100% biodegradable. And the point of that is, first of all, the dog walkers then can be guilt-free, the environment can be free of plastic, and all of that should go to the landfill out at Fisher's Hock and not just lie on our aquifer poisoning our water.
Okay, different perspective from Andrew in Constantia, who doesn't want to see it buried willy-nilly. Thank you for your comment, Andrew. There is such an interesting question that's come through on our Facebook page from Karen, just to move away from the dog poo issue. Karen has asked, and Wendy, I don't know if you have stats on this, but she's asking, is there any research on job losses if packaging is taken out of the production chain? Really interesting approach. Of course, we can also say that the recycling chain itself is actually quite a large job. Yes. Provider in this country. Do you have any idea?
I don't, but I can tell you I was very much involved in the whole debate prior to the free shopping supermarket carrier bags thing coming to an end and then introducing the paid ones in 2003. And of course, the packaging industry was one of their objections was that it was going to cause dramatic losses. But we know that that didn't happen. The bags got thicker. In fact, there's more plastic now. Yeah. The bags got thicker and people went back and exceeded the amount that they were buying before for some weird reason. That could be a factor, but I don't think it's anything, sadly, that we need to worry about right now. And again, recycling potentially can create many, many jobs and across the spectrum, from the people who are picking it off the landfill, and there are many, to the those in the more formal recycling plants.
Well, you actually had a chance to visit a plant, I know, within the last week or so, the ProPet Plastics Recycling Plant in Bertersich, where you kind of saw it all in action.
I wish we had more time. It was the best plant I've ever visited in 20 years of consumer journalism. It just blew my socks off. Mm-hmm. So Willie's invited me. In the last financial year, 9 million plastic bottles that would have otherwise been sent or remained in a landfill were recycled into Willie's clothing, mostly men's T-shirt, also their reusable shopping bags and other things. Mm-hmm. And so they take that plastic beverage bottle, a cool drink and your Cokes and whatever, and they turn that into, at this plant, they turn that into polyester fiber, and then they blend it 50-50 with cotton, and from that they make the T-shirts. And the polyester makes it the clothes, you know, wear better and last longer, etc. So the plant is managed by this most wonderful man called Lionel Mudley, who has an infectious, delightful passion for recycling PET. He held up this empty bottle and said to me, "This is gold. I wish more people realized that it has no business in a landfill." He could use twice as much of this PET from used cool drink bottles than he's currently getting. So that's a thought.
Yeah.
And he took me on this amazing tour, Pippa, from the chips, plastic chips being melted, formed into strands like a giant pasta machine, and then into fiber. And then at one point towards the end of the process, he pulled this fiber off the line and he shoved it into a plastic bag. I still have it with me. Hmm. It looks like a bag of candy floss. And I've asked loads of people what they think it is. It's beautifully soft, sort of addictively soft. And they go, wool, cotton, mohair. And then I watch them carefully as I say, no, actually, this is for Aquele bottles, nothing else.
Sure, yeah.
And they're just amazed. I think if every consumer in this country could actually visit the plant or at least feel a bag of recycled PET, they would gain a lot more respect in that moment for those plastic bottles and never waste them. So, yeah, Willie's aim is by 2020 that a quarter of all the polyester in its business will be from recycled polyester, and that would mean doubling what they're currently buying and bring them close to recycling 20 million bottles a year.
That's great to hear, because of course Woolies is one of the consumers that takes a lot of flack for over packaging. So
yes,
that's great to
this
hear.
This is the other side, and in some cases, rightly so. And again, it's a balance between consumers expecting their products to not spoil in getting to the shelf and getting from the shelf into their homes. So they don't like that, but not to over package to the point that it becomes very you know, unfriendly to the environment. And again, those fibers that recycled, and what I was fascinated by, that process of recycling the PET, it can be from microfiber for clothing right up to coarse stuff that goes, we don't see it, in our roofs as insulation. All the local manufacturers of cars used recycled PET for the carpets and the boot lids, that sort of thing, in their cars. So there's a lot going on. And that's recycling that many of us are just not aware of.
I'm so glad you've alerted us to some of these things today, and it's clearly touched a chord with a lot of people who are sending through questions and telling us what they're doing about recycling in their own home, which is great. One very practical suggestion on the WhatsApp line saying the way you unpack your trolley when you get to the till can actually even play a role. If you unpack all the toiletries together with the cleaning items, for example, there's no need for those barrier bags because all of the like products go into one bag together. That's a very
excellent
practical suggestion. Mm. Thank you. And one last one from Alec on the SMS line. He says, I was in Mauritius in February last year, and as of January last year, plastic bags were banned and shops are liable for a fine of 10,000 Mauritian rupees if they are caught supplying them. Only brown paper bags allowed. That's fantastic to hear, Alec. Thanks. Wendy, we've run out of time just like that.
Yes.
And it's been a fascinating show. I just wanted to remind everybody that if they've got a consumer issue they'd like to raise with you, they must send an email to consumer@nola.co.za and just put the words Cape Talk and one or two words identifying the subject in the line there. What have we got on the menu next week?
Next week we're talking another hot topic, DSTV.
Oh.
So I get many varied complaints about multi-choice, which supplies DSTV, ranging from why is there no magazine anymore to why should I have to upgrade to the new Explorer to choice of, you know, their offerings, the actual shows themselves, the price, etc., etc. So we have the top man himself going to be coming on next week to answer some of those questions. I have, in the meanwhile, sent through all of those DSTV-related queries and complaints that I've had from listeners. And, we're looking forward to addressing those.
Look forward to chatting to you then. Wendy Nola, thanks for being with us.